Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have our usual weekly League of Ireland chat. This week, we're joined by former Fin Harps player Joe Boyle. Later in the programme, we'll be heading to the county of Kildare as we look ahead to their clash with Donegal in the National Football League this weekend. That, of course, is our feature game on Saturday evening. Plus, there's reaction from the Donegal under 20 and minor managements after their victories over Cavan last night at Breffni Park. But we are going to start with boxing. Earlier this week, Jude Gallagher became the sixth Irish boxer to secure qualification for the Paris Olympics. The Tyrone featherweight reached the last four of the world qualification event in Italy to secure his place at an Olympics for the very first time. And he, of course, will be heading to Paris later in the summer. Jude boxes out of the Two Castles Club in Newton Stewart, and I'm delighted to say that he now joins us on the programme. Jude, you're welcome along to the airwaves of Highland.
Thank you, Yashin. Delighted to be on.
You've had a couple of days now to process the whole situation where you have qualified for Paris this coming summer. You've obviously had a bit of downtime since to process the thoughts through your head as well. How's the feeling today, Jude?
Aye, it's great. Hey, it's honestly unbelievable. It's just great to be home now. Great to be home and back in my own house and surrounded by my own comforts. It's been a long time away out in Italy there, and the last couple of days has just been unbelievable, really. Just, it's been hard to process. It's really just been a dream come true, and just to be honest, I'm just delighted to be back home now, and just can't wait to see everybody now, and let the celebrations commence.
Well, listen, there's going to be celebrations on Friday night at St. Eugene's Parish Hall for you, and I'm sure you're going to get a big crowd for it, and you'll be supported fantastically by boxing fans and sporting fans throughout the Northwest, and they were very much behind you over the course of the last 10 days in Italy. Were you confident going into Italy that you could come away by making the last four and securing the place, Jude?
The support that I had now out there was unbelievable from everybody back home, but of course, going out there, my only goal was to come away, finish in the top four and qualify for the Olympics. And going out there, you know, I had a great camp. I was on a CC in Italy for 2 weeks just before heading to Milan. And we had a great sparring camp where there was 25 other nations from across the world all gathered on a CC for top-class sparring. And so the preparation was second to none. I mean, this was my second chance at qualifying for Olympics, having fallen short at the European Games back in June. So I knew what it was going to take, and I knew what I was coming up against. And so just finishing that top four and securing my ticket to Paris was my main goal, and thankfully I've done that.
Yeah, and listen, when you worked through them three fights that you had to make the last four, you fought very, very impressively, reading the reports on them. Maybe at times the scores and the reports suggested that it was a wee bit easier than what it actually was in the ring. But you performed very, very well, Jude, in each of those fights against really, really high quality fighters who were expected maybe to progress out of this tournament and haven't.
I was absolutely delighted with my performances out there. I had four tough fights, within 10 days out there, and here I beat a world bronze medalist. I beat an African champion, two other great lads, and it's been I just had to perform the best, and that just came from the preparation, the hard work from I put on the lead up to these games. Nobody really sees that part of it, but the preparation I done this time round was I took it to another level, and that thankfully helped me get over the line and turn on the good performances on the day, yep, which thankfully led to my qualification.
Yeah, you've had some really, really highs in your career. Gold in the Commonwealth Games, a world bronze, a world silver. Where does qualification for the Olympic Games rank with you and amongst what you have achieved so far, Jude?
At the moment, it's the top of the list now. At the moment, it definitely is. Whenever I was standing in the ring and I heard them words, the announcer call out before the decision and has won their quota for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games, I just couldn't believe it. All my emotions came out there at that moment in the ring. I mean, it's been a dream of mine ever since I started boxing. It's been a dream of mine to box at the Olympic Games, and I've been saying it when people have been asking me and chanting me about what my goals are for boxing and stuff. I've always been telling them I always wanted to get to the Olympic Games, and now that I've actually qualified it and I've seen it happen now, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Like, and I'm just so thankful and so grateful that I've done it now.
Yep. I know it's very early stages, so it isn't only a matter of days qualified for the Olympics, but you have medalled in particular as a youth at major tournaments. Is it achievable, Jude, in the summertime that you can replicate that?
Absolutely. Why not? Why not go to the Olympics and get a medal? I mean, it's an achievement in itself, qualifying for Olympics, but why can I don't see any reason why anybody can go to the Olympics now and really push on and kick on and win a medal at the Olympic Games. I mean, that would be really fairy tale stuff. Like, and it's definitely something now when I get back into Dublin, back into training, take some time off. It's something now that I'll come up with my own goals and set my own goals for the Olympics, and definitely, why not? I can't see why getting a medal out there wouldn't be achievable.
Yep. Obviously, there's going to be a very hard slog, and a hard training camp to get yourself ready for the Olympics. Is there any competitions? Is the Europeans coming up? Will you be part of that, or is there any sort of tournaments that you're going to be involved in before you head to Paris?
Yeah, well, there's a European tournament now next month at the end of April. I'm not sure what the plans are now. I'll have to see whenever we go back to Dublin, but for the next few days now, I'll just relax, recover, spend some good time with friends and family, and I'll go back to Dublin next week and I'll see what the plans are in the lead up to the games. But I'm sure it'll all come thick and fast, and again, I'm sure the Irish team will provide us with great training camps and give us every opportunity to get to the best shape we can coming up to these games.
Yeah, you mentioned family. Your dad obviously is a coach of yours, a founding member of the Two Castles Club. We've seen the video and the pictures of you embracing him after you qualified for the Olympics. You and him have a very, very special relationship, obviously as father and son, but in a sporting arena as well, Jude.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, my dad opened the club in Newton Stewart in 2012, and to think now, 12 years later, that after opening the club doors, that his own son would be boxing in the 2024 Olympic Games is unreal. But no, here my dad's been my number one supporter, my biggest supporter. He's followed me all across the world and watched me boxing. He's taken me the length and breadth of Ireland for training, sparring, whatever it is I needed to be the best. Like, he's done it, and it means as much to him as it does to me. Like, and it was a very, very special moment now in the arena after I qualified.
Yeah, and it will mean a lot to the club as well, Jude, because it's a very young club, as you said, but already in that short period of time, there's something like 35 Irish titles have come to the Two Castle Club, because and there's a large number of young kids that are involved there at the moment. So it shows that the hard work is paying off with everybody involved. And now to see somebody go to the Olympics, it's a proud moment for all those that are involved with the Two Castle Club.
Absolutely. It's a special moment now, and it's a testament to my father, Paul Mays, all other coaches, everybody that helps out, volunteers, helps in the club now. We're just from Newton Stewart's not a big place now, as you know, it's just a wee small place. Like, so to be always turning over champions, Irish champions, Ulster champions, lads representing Ireland at the highest level. Like, it's a massive thing for the club and for the town. And what it does for the town, it lifts everybody in the town. It gives everybody something to look forward to. And, the support everybody from the town and surrounding area gives to the club and to myself is unreal. Like, so, no, it's great. It's a great club, fantastic club. Like, and, this will just lift all the lads in the club and hopefully lift many other young people too, that so they know now that it's possible and that anybody can achieve their dreams, you know.
Yeah. They'll all be looking for tickets for this Olympics, Jude.
I think so now. I think a few people were looking already now, Oshanda, but I think they're very pricey, but a few people don't mind.
Listen, you're 22 years of age and you're coming into an age bracket where you would be seen as being now over the next number of years in your sporting prime, I suppose, Jude. Yes, you've got the Olympics coming up. I'm going to knock it maybe further afield after the games. Is the professional game something that you would be interested in? But if things were to go well in the Olympics, would you see yourself being involved in another Olympic cycle?
Possibly, yes. I don't know now. I haven't really thought about, to be honest. I've just been trying to enjoy me boxing every fight, every tournament I'm coming up, every training camp. I've just been trying to embrace it all and enjoy it as it comes now, because I've learned that it's not every day you're boxing for at this level, and I know that with setbacks and there'll be a lot of setbacks and stuff and along the way, so it's not always a straightforward line, but I just want to go to these Olympic Games now and enjoy them, and I'll see how I get on and see where it takes me, and maybe down the line possibly, but I'm not sure. It's something I haven't paid too much thought to, but I'll see after the games and see what comes.
Yeah, well, listen, and enjoy now the camps that are coming up. Yes, there will be a lot of hard work and training put into them, but you'll be enjoying them too, knowing that you're heading to the Paris Olympic Games during the summer. Delighted that you joined us tonight, Jude, and all we can do is wish you all the very best in the weeks and months ahead, and many congratulations on your qualification again.
Perfect. Thank you, Oisin.
Brilliant stuff indeed. And just to remind listeners once again that there will be a celebration evening at St Eugene's Parish Hall, excuse me. That is in Newton Stewart tomorrow evening, Friday at 8 o'clock, and everyone is welcome there. Now, moving on to football, having suffered their first defeat of the season at the hands of Cove Ramblers, Fin Harps will look to get back on track tomorrow night, Friday, away to Wexford in the first division of the SSE or Trusty League. And among the games in the Premier Division, Derry City are back in Dublin. This time they're facing a Bohemian side that dumped their manager after last week's defeat to Shelburne. Highland's Chris Ashmore has this week been talking League of Ireland football with former Fin Harps player Joe Boyle.
Well, many thanks for joining us, Joe, as we look ahead to Fin Harps in action against Wexford this weekend and also the other games in the two divisions of the SSE Airtricity League. For Harps, they got the season off to a positive start with that win down in Longford, followed up by a draw against title favourites Cork City and also a win against Athlone. However, they did slip up against Cove last time out. Overall, though, Joe, it's been a pretty decent start to the season.
Yeah, I think it's been a positive start for them, Chris. You know, it's good to be sitting on 7 points at this stage of the season. You know, Darren was disappointed when you listened to his comments after the match against Cove, which is natural enough because he'd come off a really good run. You know, that night down in Longford when they went 2-0 down, you were thinking, oh, here goes again. But I think the courage and commitment that they showed that night, and then to back it up with a really good performance and a good result against Cork. I know it's at home to get a draw, but and then to back that up then with another positive performance and result against Athlone. You know, I would imagine they'll be disappointed, but you know, I think most importantly now is to bounce back and try and get back on the wagon this week away to Wexford. You know, Wexford have only played two games, so it's kind of difficult to know where they're at the minute. I know they've beaten UCD, but you know, I'd be hoping this week they could get back into things and get back to winning ways this week down in Wexford.
Yeah, and as you say, you know, Wexford have only had a couple of games. Ethan Boyle, the captain, so assuming that he's playing, he'll be doing his best to get one over Harps. And Wexford's Ferry Carrick Park, you know, it's a pretty open, big enough pitch down there. It's not an easy place to get the 3 points.
Definitely not, you know, and you know the Wexford have started well with that result against Athlone, and then to get a positive result away to UCD, then and you know, Ethan Boyle has definitely been one of the best players that's been at Finn Harps in the last 5 or 10 years, and his commitment all the time when he was playing for Finn Harps, I would imagine it'll not be any different when he's playing against Finn Harps for Wexford this week. And, you know, having somebody like Ethan in your team, particularly in the first division, that would be a huge, huge positive for Wexford and for James Kerry. And, you know, he'd be delighted to have him there and to try and build on those two results that they've had. And, you know, they'd be disappointed they've only had two games and they've had those couple of postponements. But, you know, again, for Darren going into this game, I think it's key that they go back to what they did in the first couple of matches where they picked up 2-1s in a draw, and he'd be looking for to build on that and try and put that disappointment. I think this is a good test for Harps. You know, they've had three positive results, and now they've had a little bit of a blip, but it's important this week now that they get something, even a draw, but they try and get something on the way in the road to Wexford. And, you know, they've proven already by going to Longford that, you know, they've picked up a point on the road. They've proven that they can do it at home now, although they got defeated against Cove. So it's important now to head away to Wexford. It's a long journey, and I don't think people realise just how far down Wexford is when you're travelling from Balvafay for a Friday evening match. But I think it's going to be very, very important that Darren and the boys prepare well this week and get into that match and get ready for a very, very difficult night down in Wexford.
Yeah, now, fortunately, I suppose, no Danny Furlong to be worried about. He scored quite a lot of goals for Wexford against Harps in times past. Aaron Dobbs will probably be their main threat. And, you know, James Keddy, very good player. I'm sure he feels at Wexford, you know, he wants to get them in a position that they can push for a playoff spot this year.
Yeah, and I think they've gone for James in a long-term contract as well, where he comes with very, very good coaching credentials. You know, he's done all his qualifications. He's been working in the background for a number of teams, and now he's stepped up himself to be that first team manager. And, you know, from knowing James from his playing days, he'll certainly not be leaving any stone unturned. And, you know, you can see those two good results that he's had, that they've gone and they've picked off at Lone and UCD, and they'll be looking to do the same with Harps this week. And in the first division, I think that's the good thing from looking at the results so far. Nobody's guaranteed any easy matches or any easy 3 points. And I think that's the way it's going to be for the season. And when you look at the start of the season, Cork are sitting top, which a lot of people would expect. But, you know, Limerick are there sitting just in behind them. But, you know, I think when I do get through that first phase, and I think Darren's comments are right, it will take those first round of matches just to see where everybody are. But, you know, it is going to be a long season, but I think a positive start on the whole for Harps, and I think that's what they've really got to take with them when they go over the M50 down to Wexford this week, that they take that positivity from those first four matches.
Now, the other games this week in the First Division, aside from Wexford and Finn Harps, it's UCD against Athlone, Kerry taking on Cove, Cork against Bray, and Longford against Treaty United. So let's just turn our attention, Joe, to the Premier Division and the games coming up this weekend. We've Dundalk against Waterford, Galway at home to Shamrock Rovers, St Pat's against Shells, Bowes against Derry, and then on Saturday, Sligo and Drogheda. And a lot of talk during the week around matters at Daly Mount Park. Declan Devine and Bohemians parting ways after just, four or five games. I mean, it's very early in the season. Something you don't normally see in the League of Ireland.
No, it's something that I was a little bit shocked when I heard the news coming through. I know Pat Fenlon's gone in there as director of football, and, you know, there's a lot of stories going about this last day or two that Stephen Kenny could be linking up with Alan Reynolds in there. They're linking Richard Dunn with the position as well, and, you know, I honestly must say I didn't see that coming. I thought if there was a manager who was under pressure, then possibly it could have been Stephen O'Donnell, where he's only picked up 1 point. You know, when you think about it, Shamrock Rovers are sitting below Bohemians in the table, and there's no word of Bradley coming under pressure there. So, you know, it was a bit of a shock. I know they got beat by Shelburne, and Damien Duff Shelburne are flying high there, but I honestly can't say that I've seen that coming. You know, they have won one of their four matches. They've drawn one, yes, they've lost two. But, you know, there'll be a lot of managers looking over their shoulder if that's going to be the policy in the League of Ireland. But knowing Pat Fenlon and knowing how he operates, I would imagine they'll not be too long. They have the game this week, and then there's a window then of 2 weeks when the international window comes in. So, you know, I would imagine Pat Fenlon has something lined up. He generally wouldn't be yielding the act like that without having some sort of plan B in place.
Yeah, and the fact that Bowes are taking on Derry City, you know, it's an interesting match for all sorts of reasons. And over the years, the County Stripes have a very good record at Daly Mount Park, and they'll probably feel that they're maybe facing Bowes at a good time.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, Rory Higgins will be hoping that Bowes don't get the bounce off when their manager is sacked and somebody comes in then on an interim basis. You know, Derry have been going well. They, you know, the signing of Pat Hogan could be key this season, you know, where he's been banging in the goals for him. And, you know, Rory will be going down there hoping to get the 3 points and hoping that they can keep that good run going down in Dublin against Bowes. And it's going to be a big, big match for Derry going into the international window.
Yeah, now City, of course, many people felt last year, you know, they were just lacking that out-and-out striker. Pat Hogan, all-time top scorer for Dundalk. I mean, this is definitely a case of Dundalk's loss is Derry's gain. And you look at the contrasting fortunes of the clubs already. Dundalk had that recent 5-0 hammering at home to Sligo Rovers. So things going in the right direction for Derry City. But Dundalk, not so long ago, the top team in the country, they seem to be going through a turbulent patch.
Yeah, and when you speak about Pat Hogan's goals, you know, Dundalk have scored one goal so far in 4 matches. And, you know, Pat has scored 6 goals for Derry in the matches that he's played there. And, you know, he's a quality player. He's somebody who knows where the goals are and where he can get goals. And when you look at those tight matches when they've been playing there, particularly the match against St. Pat's there where he popped up and he got the touch on it for the header and then they get the winner then in the 92nd minute. I know that's key. And watching him that night against Shamrock Rovers down in Dublin where he got that penalty, got them back into the game after going 1-0 down. Derry then go 2-1 up, and I would have really put everything I had on them to make sure they'd seen that out. And but again, testament to Shamrock Rovers, they came back. But you know, Derry bounced back last week in the Brandywell with 3 goals again from Hogan, where he scores a hat-trick in the early part of the season. And as a defender, you would not want to be coming up against him in the form that he's in at the minute. But the only worrying thing that for me is that, you know, there's very few other strikers going apart from Mullen scoring at Derry. You know, there's been no goals from Patrick McElhinney. I know he's been out injured. We haven't seen any goals from Duffy. So if Rory Higgins can get those players firing up there, then Derry will be really title contenders this season. And you would expect them to be challenging at the top of the table with Shamrock Rovers, you know. And when you look at Shelburne there as well, under Damien Duff and with Mark Coyle as being the captain and player of the month for the first month of the season, you know, they are really in a positive position there. 2 points clear of Derry, and you know, they'll be looking to build on that as well. I think we're in for a really, really exciting season in both divisions this season, particularly for us in Donegal, who are looking at Harps in the first division. But you know, when you just look over the border into Derry, there could be a lot of Friday nights where people will be going between Balbuffet and Derry to watch some really big matches.
Yes, interesting and exciting times ahead. And, you know, Shamrock Rovers, last couple of seasons, they've often struggled to get off to a good start and taken a little bit of while to get their momentum going. This weekend, they're away to Galway, and one would expect, you know, Rovers should win that one and maybe kickstart their season a bit.
Yeah, you would, but the other side is Galway have had a really positive start as well, 1-2 and drawn one of their first 5 matches, and with Ollie down there assisting John Caulfield, you know, there'll be nothing easy down in Terryland and down in Galway. So, you know, that's another tough match for Shamrock Rovers and something that Galway will certainly be looking for. And, you know, we have positive experience of Ollie up here and of John Caulfield and seen them in action. And I wouldn't be fancying that one now with Shamrock Rovers. And you could see Galway possibly scrape a draw out of that one.
Now, Mark Coyle, former Harps player, captain of Shelburne this year, he got the Player of the Month award for last month. He's really buzzing. Shell's buzzing under Damien Duff. And there's been that gradual progression since he was appointed. Do you think they can challenge for the title?
Yeah, I do. I think they're one of the best coach teams in the league, and they've got young players who have now got that experience over the last 2 seasons of working with Damien Duff. And, you know, a player can't but be enthused by working with Damien Duff. And I know his interviews are box office after the games, and you know, you listen to him and he gives very, very little away. But when you look at the way the players are reacting to him and the way the players are working with him, and even that night when they were out in Bonagie there, was it last season, you know, he really has those group of players working really, really hard for him. They've got huge amount of energy. They've got good quality players. And I do think Shelburne, if they can get a wee bit of luck and avoid serious injuries to a couple of their key players, and Mark Coyle being one of them, then they certainly will be title contenders or in and around the shake-up with Derry and Shamrock Rovers there for the title.
Yeah. And finally, Joe, Sligo Rovers, always a lot of Donegal connections with the Showgrounds club. They're at home to Drogheda United. And Sligo have had a rather unusual start to the season. I think they've scored, is it 7 goals away from home, and they haven't scored at home yet. So they held Shamrock Rovers to a scoreless draw last time out. They're at home to Drogheda, and no doubt the home fans will be hoping to see the first goal of the season. But as we've touched on, you know, getting the goal scorers is a problem that many clubs can have.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be Sligo's Achilles heel. You know, they don't have that focal point. You know, they don't have a Pat Hoban this season where they can have somebody there who can rattle in the goals for them. Their play has been quite good. You know, they've been consistent under John Russell this season, you know, with those 3 draws. But again, if they could turn one of those draws into a victory, you know, they'd be sitting right up there in third position. And again, that's an important point for John this season to try and, I know he can't do anything now until the window opens in the summer, but, you know, trying to keep Sligo tipping over. But that one win is something that would concern. The 3 draws is great, but, you know, only 1 defeat. But if they could really push on and try and nip a victory, it would really push them up the table. And I think that's something that John Russell will be certainly looking to try and capitalise on in this week. Maybe playing away from home might suit Sligo a little bit better when they are under a little bit of cosh. And again, Drogheda coming this week, I couldn't imagine Drogheda are going to come out. They'll sit in there and you'll try and hit Sligo on the break. And again, that's going to be a difficult one for Sligo. When you don't have strikers and you don't have somebody with the ball in the net, you know, Drogheda could be setting up for a very difficult night there. But I would hope and think that Sligo could manage to pick up the 3 points this weekend.
That's Joe Boyle in conversation with Highlands' Chris Ashmore, talking all things League of Ireland football. And just to let our listeners know, we will have live regular updates from Ferry Carrick Park tomorrow night as Wexford take on Finharps. Kickoff 7:45, and Liam Spratt will be on duty for Highland Radio Sport down there in Wexford tomorrow evening. Okay, time for a break. We've got lots of Gaelic games to come after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score here on Highland. As we just reflect on action from last night, and it was a good night for Donegal teams at Breffni Park and Cavan, with both the under-20s and the minor men taking wins in their respective games. The under-20s had a 215-16 point win over their host Cavan. The goals there coming from an own goal from the goalkeeper of Cavan, Liam Bell, after he dropped the ball into the back of the net, and KJ Malloy, who ended the game with 1-3 for Donegal. Luke McGlinnan pressed, kicking 5 points, while the likes of Paddy McElwee, Conor McGinty, Senan Carr, Oisin Caulfield and Donal Gallagher also got on the score sheet, as the Donegal under-20s got up and running in their Ulster Championship campaign with a victory in game 1. They still have a match to come in their second outing, when they will be at home in just under 2 weeks' time against Fermanagh. Well, the Donegal Miners also won in the opening game of the evening against Cavan, coming through 213-13 points. The goals there came from Thomas Carr and Conor McCahill in the opening half. And back-to-back victories now in the competition means that Barry Ward's team have qualified for the semi-finals of the competition. We'll hear from the Donegal Minor manager, Barry Ward, in just a few moments. But Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News was on reaction duty for Highland Radio Sport last night. And first of all, he got the thoughts of the Donegal under-20 manager on that victory against Cavan. And that man, of course, is SP Barrett.
Sean Paul, a good victory over Cavan in Breffni Park. A very strong first half. Cavan came back at you in the second half. What was your reading of it out there?
Yeah, listen, it was a very tight game. We played well in the first half. We created a good few scoring chances, and we took the scoring chances. Like, we're supposed to be very fortuitous in a goal. High ball went in, and the kind of keeper dropped in his own, give us a wee bit of a cushion. We said at half time, this game is far from over. Up in Breffni Park, it's always going to be difficult. Cavan, obviously very hungry, very proud, and they came at it and they really put it up to us in the second half. They worked really hard. We knew that's what was going to happen, but thankfully they showed great resilience and got a few scores at the end to just push on again.
Yeah, some awesome play at times in the first half. You're getting the ball in early. Carl Joseph Malloy kicked a couple of points. Paddy McLeay kicked a couple of points. You got a lovely goal from Senan Carr. You must have been very good or very impressed with how that side of things played out in the first half.
Well, listen, we're working them the last, I think it's 13 or 14 weeks. We know what they're made of. We know what they can do. We know when we move the ball. We have a lot of good footballers. We have a lot of confidence in what they can do, a lot of belief in them. When they play football, like, they're nice, and they're nice to watch. They move the ball very well, and they're a good footballer. So, yeah, that's what we expected. We're seeing it every night of training.
Yeah, the second half just seemed to be harder for you to get yourselves on hands on the ball. And Dara Lovett, the Cavan number 15, was sharp in a corner forward, and it took a wee while to get a handle on him.
Oh, yeah, he's a very good player. We knew that before we started. Like, obviously, he's their captain as well. Like, you know, and I think he made the scores 6 or 7 points. Like, you know, and most of them were frees. But he's a very good player. Every team you play, you're going to have super players. You look at yourselves, like maybe Luke McGlynn, who's a fabulous player as well. Any team you play, you're going to have outstanding players. And obviously, Cavan have Dara.
Yeah, but you steadied up. You mentioned Luke McGlynn showed real leadership down the home straight. Senan Carr got a nice point, and you know they did what they had to get the victory and get that first day one.
Well, I suppose maybe we'd be disappointed because we gave away the ball a good bit in the second half, you know, and maybe trying to put in balls that maybe weren't on, and we should have held on to it a wee bit more and moved it through the hands a wee bit more. But listen, we're very happy with it, to get out of here with a victory in our first game, and we're looking forward to the next game now against Fermanagh.
Yeah, Sean Martin, who played in the McKenna Cup for Donegal, came off the bench. We had Cian McMenamin from Termon on the bench, who Cian hasn't played much football, missed the whole school season, so good to see him back. Sean Ward was injured. Are you hoping to have any of those back for the next game?
Yes. Listen, both Sean and Cian are just back into us. Both of them were carrying injuries. Cian had a long term injury there. Thankfully, he's back this last couple of weeks, and he's trying to get up to speed with the running. He's not 100% yet. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, he will be. And the same as Sean Martin. Sean had a couple of niggles. Both of them done fitness tests, and they're redeemed good enough to be in the panel today. They're two fabulous players. But obviously, there's other players to come in too. Like, we lost Callum McRae at the weekend playing for the Abbey. So hopefully he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and Sean Ward as well is out injured at the minute, and Sean McMenamin has just got the all clear to come back in and train. And so listen, we're looking forward to it now. There's competition for places, they're a good bunch of lads, and listen, we need to push on.
Yeah, you've 2 weeks until your next game. You'll put them through their paces and get them primed and ready for that home tie.
Oh yeah, listen, we need to pick it up and we need to push on again. We need to see whoever got picked up Knox tonight. Like, Niall, who unfortunately lost our full back there today. Niall's been super for us, and he pulled up a bit of an injury. So hopefully it won't be too serious. Hopefully it won't be too long. But we'll have to get the medics to have a look at him anyway.
I'm joined here by Donegal minor manager Barry Ward. Barry, a 6-point victory over Cavan in Breffni Park on the main pitch here, and a super performance from your team.
Very, very happy tonight. Now, we talked last week after the Fermanagh game, and look, we put in a good performance in the second half, and what we asked for the lads was 60 minutes today. Look, we're plain and simple, and you can see, look at the energy for the full 60 minutes there. They never, ever stop. Look, and you'd be very proud of them tonight.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell with these blonde hairstyles, but I think it was Tomás Carr and Conor McCahill with the goals in the first half, and some of the forward play was excellent.
We really interchanged well there, and it's been something we've been working on, you know, teams, especially last week. Like, Fermanagh played a lot of men behind the ball. We needed to get movement into our play, and lateral, sideways, and look, I think in the first half we opened them up a few times there, and we're probably unlucky on another couple of occasions, but look, we'll take what we got today, and we can work again for the next day.
Yeah, and in fairness to Cavan, they're a big physical team. They kicked some lovely points in the second half, and they went for goals as well. Your goalkeeper Patrick McBride had to make a good save at one stage, but I'm sure to get that clean sheet is something that'll please the defensive rear guard.
Oh, absolutely. I think really at the end there was one chance really, you know, it was really got in there, and I think it was Porrick Devine made a great block. And look, you're not going to go through a full game without having been opened up at one stage anyway. So look, we're happy with that there. And Podrick behind him is a fantastic keeper, so we've great faith in him. So look, we're happy enough with that.
Yeah, I suppose not maybe to end on a negative, but the only maybe downer tonight is a couple of injuries picked up. Luke McGuinness went off, Max Campbell went off, and Jordy Gribben didn't start. What's the story there, Barry?
Oh, well, look, Jordy didn't feel too well, so look, he'll be all right the next day. But the positive is the performance of the guys that went in. Look, we've 34 of a panel. We have great faith in them, and a couple of lads got a run out tonight there again that didn't get a run the last night. And this is what the league's about too. Is look, we're not going to have everybody every day. So the positive is that the guys went into the pitch. The intensity didn't stop. They kept it going. It was as if there was no changes. It was very smooth, and that's what we're delighted about as management.
Yeah. So you're going to have a league semi-final now, and you know that's another chance to test your mettle. And you know there's big competition for places. Some of the subs that have been coming on are mad to make an impression. So I'm sure you have a few selection headaches maybe to consider.
Look, at it. We've known that all along. Is that every time we sit down to pick the team. Now look, we gave the team today a chance again after last week. There was a bit of disappointment there, and we let them look, lads, go and prove yourself today, and you can see the performance there. It was great today that like we had to put Turlough Carr back centre back and Sean O'Carroll to come out midfield. You know, lads were just playing out of normal positions, but like again they just transitioned very smoothly, and that was the great thing about it.
Ryan Ferry talking to both Barry Ward and before that Sean Paul Barrett. Well, our feature game this coming St. Patrick's weekend is of course coming from Netwatch Cullen Park in Carlow. It's the National Football League Division 2 encounter between Kildare and Donegal. The match starts at 5 o'clock and it will be live here on Highland Radio. I'll be joined in the commentary position by Martin McHugh. We know going into the game, of course, that a victory for Donegal, and they will all but assure their place in Division 1 next season and a place as well in the Division 2 final in Croke Park on Easter Sunday. But let's go to the Lilywhite County. Let's head to Kildare and speak to commentator from KFM, Ger McNally. Ger, you're welcome along to Highland.
Good to speak to you again, O'Shane. Thanks for having me on.
And I suppose, Ger, you're not going to be happy with my introduction. Come 5 o'clock on Friday, even before the ball's thrown in, you guys could be relegated depending on how all the results go. But I suppose no matter what happens at the weekend, it's going to be a really, really difficult weekend to stung up for everybody involved in Kildare and supporters of Kildare football.
Yeah, absolutely, Oisin. I don't think there's any, even the most optimistic of Kildare supporters, and there's not many of them left around these days. I don't think even they will be dreaming of Kildare not being relegated by the end of the weekend. And really, it's only a matter of whether results go against Kildare before a ball is thrown in against Donegal, or whether it's Donegal who actually put the final nail in Kildare's coffin. It's been a really, really disappointing season so far for Kildare, that goes without saying. And yeah, just said, I think the fate is already sealed in terms of where Kildare will be playing the league football next year. And unfortunately, that will be Division 3.
Yep. What's going on down in Kildare? Because you guys have fielded three teams in All-Ireland Under 20 finals since 2018, which you think would be the basis and a core of a team which really would at the very least have you as challenging for Leinster titles. And but here you are now facing into relegation to the Division 3 of the league, Ger.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to think back just a couple of years how optimistic people were with Glenn Ryan and the dream team, I suppose you could say, of selectors, all legendary players in their own right coming in, taking over a team who, on the back of that first All-Ireland victory back in 2018, there was a lot of players in around that squad. And the first year, there was some great days in Newbridge. There was a really battling draw against Kerry in the first game under Glenn Ryan in the league. There was a first victory in over 20 years against Dublin, and a right hammering of Monaghan as well. And Kildare only went down by virtue of a last gasp point by Monaghan scored elsewhere in the last round of the leagues. And Kildare, though, they just haven't kicked on from there. There was a real hammering against Dublin in Croke Park that I think just shook the fate of everybody really in that first season. And ever since then, I think the management team have been falling between two stools. They went into Croke Park that day against Dublin, I think expected to take Dublin on the front foot. conceded 5 goals in the first half. And to be honest, I think ever since then, they've fallen between two stools, as I say, that they're not sure if they want to be an all-out defensive team or want to play in with a bit more of an attacking flair. But really, looking at the likes of a Donegal or Derry, who are full of athletic, you know, really fit players, they get up and down the pitch. Even looking at Kildare against Fermanagh and Cavan this year, they were kind of struggling to play that kind of full court press, if you like, where almost the entire team moves as one up and down the field. Kildare, when they're trying to do that, they're leaving gaps all over the field. And the likes of, as I said, Cavan and Fermanagh were able to pick it off. Armagh, in even better style again. And that's the kind of thing I fear for Kildare against Donegal now on Saturday evening as well.
Yeah, because the Kildare could end up really, really struggling because Donegal are playing with so much confidence at the minute, and the style of play that they're implementing as well. It seems to be the writings on the wall that they're going to cause Kildare serious problems here.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, God, I would really fear for Kildare on Saturday evening. I had the same kind of feelings going in against Armagh, and to be honest, I would say Armagh had Kildare beaten after 20 minutes that day, and they played with their slippers on. Then in the second half, they played at half pace, and never at any stage did they look threatened at all. And I would think that I'm not quite sure that Jim McInnes would allow a Donegal side to maybe go through the motions. I'm not taking anything away from Armagh. They were so good on the day. They were playing keeping Kildare at arm's length. But I think the kind of high energy, high pressing athleticism all over the field that Donegal have now under Jim McInnes' managership there is really going to cause Kildare problems. And Kildare, yeah, as I said, it could be a long, long evening. I was commentating on KFM during that second half against Armagh, and unfortunately we've had a few bad days in the commentary box commentating on Kildare over the last kind of 10 years, but that was one of the longest halves of football I've had to commentate on as Kildare went through the motions with Armagh beating them out of sight without even breaking sweat in the second half.
I suppose Donegal, not so much in a similar position, but we're in a bit of a low ebb last year, and things have turned round very, very quickly for us with the introduction of Jim McInnes. So if Kildare can in some way maybe steady the ship, there may be some sort of hope, is there, for the Lilywhites?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at Donegal, if you look at Derry, I suppose, as well, Derry were at a very low ebb back in 2018, 2019, when they were relegated and playing football in Division 4. And an awful lot of the guys who were involved then, are now on the side, who are All-Ireland challengers. Donegal in a similar situation, that they were really at a low ebb last year. But obviously, when you have are able to appoint a manager of Jim McInnes of his calibre, you know, that's really a help. I'm not quite sure that Kildare will be able to do that. But as we mentioned earlier, there would be still an awful lot of, I suppose, the raw ingredients of a good team in Kildare if the right setup is there. And again, nothing against this current management team, but unfortunately it just feels like it's in the final days of that now. And unless something absolutely remarkable happens in the All-Ireland Championship, you'd imagine there's going to be a managerial change come the end of the season. And it would still be a job that I think a lot of people around, certainly just people within the county of Kildare who would like it. And, you know, we have a couple of All-Ireland winners there in the last couple of years at under 20 level, but I think anybody really would have a half an eye on that job, because there's an awful lot of young talent there, and if it's harnessed in the right way, then it wouldn't take a huge amount to get Kildare moving in the right direction. But unfortunately at the moment, yeah, things are really at a low ebb. There's not much confidence among the supporter base, which is again hard to imagine, because Glenn Ryan was held in such high esteem when he came in, and all the people with him and the management team the same. But yeah, I suppose just shows that results are king. And kind of everything within a county is based generally upon the results of the senior football team or hurling team as well in some counties. But when things aren't going well at senior level, everything kind of is being questioned, and that's where we are at the moment in Kildare.
Yeah. How frustrating is it as a Kildare person to continue to watch, I suppose, if you want to call them the noisy neighbours, the blue noisy neighbours of Dublin, because they've been starting to find a bit of momentum again over the last number of weeks, and are all of a sudden banging as favourites once again for the All Ireland series. Is it a bit frustrating to be looking in as they continue on the way that they have done so over the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, I think I was just saying to you off air there, like, I'm an Everton fan now, so I'm obviously a big fan of James Coleman up there. He's an absolute hero of mine. But our rivalry with Liverpool now is kind of akin to Kildare's rivalry with Dublin. It's a rivalry only really in name, because, you know, it's a neighbouring county of Kildare, but Dublin obviously are absolutely streets ahead. And I think Kildare, were kind of living for the last, maybe at one stage, you know, dreaming of kind of matching Dublin, but those kind of dreams are long gone now at this stage, and Kildare's dreams and aims are a lot lower level than that. And yeah, just looking on at Dublin now, I do think it's a kind of wide open All-Ireland Championship this year. It's fantastic to see the way that Derry have progressed to become now genuine All-Ireland challengers over the last couple of seasons. And obviously the Mickey Hart factor as well, thrown in there as well, makes that a really intriguing prospect. But yeah, Donegal as well are going to be right up there. It is hard to judge on league football, I suppose. Donegal, as good as they've been, it is only in Division 2, so it will be very interesting to see what happens when they get up against some of the real top teams there in Ulster and the Ulster Championship, and then when they get into the open stages as well, and then obviously Mayo and Kerry as well. Galway won't be too far away too, so yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer indeed. I think it's a wide open championship, but unfortunately for us here in Kildare, yeah, we'd have to listen to Dublin maybe pushing on again. That they look like they're certainly revving up Conor Callaghan. They're getting more than ever out of Conor Callaghan at the moment, it seems, and what a talented footballer he is. So yeah, I think we're all set for a very interesting summer ahead.
Listen, Chair, I look forward to me and you chatting again on Saturday. I'll see you down at Netwatch Cullen Park in Carlow for this Kildare Donegal fixture, the latest in Division 2, and hopefully we'll get a good game of football.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have the Catalan for you down there, Rushing. Look forward to talking to you down there. But yeah, I think you'll be the one smiling, not me, unfortunately. So look okay. Forward to seeing you. Up.
All right, then. Thanks, Chair. Talk soon. So once again, Kildare against Donegal. It's live here in Highland this coming Saturday as from the 5 o'clock throw-on time. Elsewhere, Gaelic games-wise, involving Donegal County teams this weekend and on the hurling front. The senior men are taking on Louth on St. Patrick's Day. The game starts at 1 o'clock at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, and Donegal know that a draw will be good enough for a top three place for Donegal at the very least. And if they finish in the top three, they will be involved in the semi-finals, but more importantly, they will also be involved in the new Division 2 structure next season. So Donegal know what they need to do on St Patrick's Day against London at the O'Donnell Park. And the other two games, Derry, the league leaders, are taking on Roscommon, and Tyrone are also at home as they play Wicklow. All three North West sides are at home, chasing places in the semi-finals, which take place next weekend, and the final is penciled in for the 30th of March. And Donegal's Ladies National Football League campaign, well, it hasn't gone the way that they wanted, but they're certainly going to Breffni Park in Cavan this weekend to take on a Cavan side in Division 2 that they hope they will be able to come back down the road with at 2 points as John McNulty's side look for a positive afternoon on St Patrick's Day. That game starts in Cavan at 2 o'clock. Tyrone are also in action at 2 o'clock as they play host to Kildare. And Kilkear GA Club, well, they're celebrating 100 years in 2024, and their celebrations to mark the occasion are going to be launched tomorrow night, Friday, at the Ashland Centre in Kilkear. The doors will open at 7:30, and the event is a night of history and nostalgia to celebrate the history of the club. There'll be guest speakers, old photographs, club items, and various things on display. And this is going to be one of three big events over the course of the year that the Kilkear Club are running to mark their centenary celebrations. It takes place tomorrow evening, starting at 7:30. And finally, motorsport-wise, the West Cork Rally starts tomorrow evening, Friday, and runs the whole way through until Sunday, St Patrick's Day. And once again, there'll be a big Donegal contingent heading to Cork for the event, including the Donegal International Rally winner from last year, Callum Devine. Gareth Doherty, navigator with Ryan Loughlin, seated inside the top 10. Declan Boyle will take a Citroen down. Joseph McGonigal and Kieran Guiney. Kevin Eaves and Chris Melly. John Boner and Johnny Baird. And Jeff Shublin and Terence Fury are all included in the seeds, the top 30 seeds for the West Cork Rally, which has an evening stage tomorrow evening, Friday. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. That's left of your Thursday. Have a very good evening.